Welcome to Stories of Stories. I'm your host, Mike Chin. In each edition of this podcast, I explore the stories behind a specific creative project, process, or experience. I'll be talking about projects on this show with the expectation that either you're already familiar with the project I'm talking about, so for example, if it's a story, you've already read it, or you don't plan to read it. Regardless, what I'm trying to get at is this podcast may include spoilers, so please listen no further if you don't want anything about the topic we're discussing spoiled. This episode, I'll be discussing book reviews, and I know book reviews might seem like an odd topic for a podcast about creative projects, but something I was thinking about recently, about sort of one of those underappreciated kind of pieces of what a lot of great literary journals do and a lot of great writers do, and it's something that I realized, a few years back, if you asked me about book reviews, I would have kind of the more traditional, I should even say more traditional, but more kind of mainstream, I guess, sort of perspective on what a book review means, which is, you're reading a newspaper, you're reading Entertainment Weekly, you're looking at a website, whatever the case may be, and they have a review of the latest book, and they talk about, why it's not so great and you shouldn't buy it, or, why it is really good, but here are kind of some of the shortcomings, and so on and so forth. And I think that is obviously, an interesting and valid form of writing. It's something that I've done some, and I'll talk some more about that during the podcast. But the world of book reviews, at least in the sense of, what literary journals publish, is different. And I thought it was worth spending a little bit of time talking about that on one of these shows. So at the time of recording, I've published five separate book reviews. That's not a huge number by any stretch, but it's enough that I do feel as though I can speak with some knowledge about it and kind of discuss, my own process towards it and kind of, the world of book reviews as I know it. And actually, the first thing I had accepted for publication after I started my MFA program was a book review. My friend Mike Martin, his book Easiest If I Had a Gun was coming out, and he reached out to writers in his community about reading it and potentially writing a review. And I'd written reviews for, my college newspaper, and of course I'd written, probably in the hundreds of reviews by then for the Acapella blog, but I'd never done a book review in this style. And basically, journals accept reviews of work. It's kind of its own genre and something that I hadn't really encountered yet, because I hadn't really encountered the world of literary journals in a meaningful way up to that point, beyond just sort of submitting to a handful of opportunities and reading those journals that either had accepted my work or some of the really high profile ones. So in this case, I read Mike Martin's book and I loved it. And, from my experience of, doing the reviews I had and from, being in writing workshops, I could always find things to be critical about and have my own suggestions or ideas. And it's funny, I basically, threw in some kind of token criticism about how, there's sort of a super long story, almost a novella at the end of that book, and about how it was a little overlong and unfocused. And I threw it in largely just so readers wouldn't think I was too biased, because this was a book by someone I knew, without really knowing the market of, what was going on with book reviews at the time. I learned a lot more in a seminar on literary magazines that one of my favorite teachers, Elena Passarello, taught at Oregon State when I was in my MFA program. And something I learned from listening to some really smart, experienced reviewers, we read interviews and insights by a few people. We had B.J. Hollers, who writes these things almost compulsively, and I think Pleiades at least was, it may still be his home base for writing reviews. He Skyped into our class and talked about why book reviews really should be positive. And it's less a review in the sense of being a critique and more of a review in terms of being this sort of short, insightful essay about what makes a book compelling or what the reader might pull from it. It's interesting to think about, but negative review, it could hurt someone's career if they read it, or it could just create a needless grudge with someone. And his argument was that, in the literary world, in terms of, putting a review out there, if you're writing it, especially about, kind of an up and coming author, because, the Stephen Kings and the John Irvings and whatnot, these more, mainstream authors who you already have a readership and are making, millions of dollars, don't really need these literary journal reviews of their work. But a lot of the books being reviewed are, by first time authors, or at least, kind of more small press authors, who this is going to be a big deal, because this is going to be one of the main routes that exposes people to reading their work. And so, you know, when I heard that, you know, it ended up making a lot of sense. It seemed kind of counterintuitive to me at first, but it's this idea of, you know, if you don't like the book or if you have significant gripes against it, you know, just don't write it. At that point, that, you know, the world doesn't necessarily need that, those particular insights, and you're saving yourself the time of writing, you know, something that's just, you know, negativity, and you're saving that author kind of, you know, that potential hit in that case. So I took that to heart, and, you know, and I didn't really try writing a book review until, you know, probably about a year later, when I encountered Dan Mancilla's novella, The Death Mask of El Gaucho. And this was a novella that was published as a chapbook and by Little Press Books, which operates kind of in conjunction with Passages North. And so it's a journal and a press I really admire and one I kind of aspire to. I think I even entered the contest that this novella ended up winning. And, you know, it was a natural draw for me because it was, you know, by a press that I respected, but then also it centered around professional wrestling. The protagonist it was kind of capturing was this sort of mythic wrestling figure who there's a lot of kind of homages to the wrestling world and kind of some implications that he's sort of like a Hulk Hogan type figure, but also, you know, a masked figure kind of out of the Lucha Libre tradition. So it was sort of the perfect piece for me to review because it, you know, fit with kind of this literary aesthetic I like and right into the wrestling world that obviously I'm pretty invested in. So after I defended my master's thesis at Oregon State, this is actually one of the first things I did was I read this novella over the course of, you know, a week or so and then started writing a book review of it. And then, you know, I had to reread it for that purpose and, you know, compile my notes and start sending it out and was happy to, you know, find a home for that book review before all that long. So, you know, that was, you know, an eye-opening kind of experience for me, you know, and I felt very fortunate that Cleaver Magazine, you know, accepted the review and got to have some nice interactions with the author afterwards. And I found that I really liked doing reviews because of how closely it made me kind of pay attention to what I was reading. You know, I think a lot of us, and myself certainly included in this, you know, we'll read kind of with our attention divided a lot of times. We're also kind of looking at our phone or, you know, a lot of times I read while I'm at the gym and kind of do that between sets or, you know, squeeze it in between other things that I need to do. And reading a book, you know, with the intention of writing a review became more like reading it when I was reading it for a class, where I was taking notes as I went and, you know, making notes of what were the overarching kind of impressions I had and themes I saw kind of engaged or, you know, what I could pull from the text. And I found that, you know, really fruitful for me. But I think there's a lot of great reasons, I think, to, you know, engage with book reviews. I think it's a great foot in the door with journals. You know, in particular, I think for writers who are kind of just kind of coming up and, you know, obviously have the chops, you know, maybe they're just kind of starting an MFA program or, you know, looking at that process. Not, you know, not to say it's the only route to a literary career because there's lots of great writers who don't do that. But, you know, someone who you know, isn't quite ready to, you know, have their stories or their poems published by, you know, some of the big name journals, but nonetheless, you know, wants to, you know, try to kind of reach out to them, build a connection, and you'll see their work out there where it might reach a lot of readers. A book review can be a great place to do that, where you know, having kind of the chops to write, you know, a 1,000-word or so review can be a really good fit for that setting. You know, and it's also just a kind of an efficiency thing, you know, because anyone kind of aspiring to write, I think, you know, should be reading a lot anyway. It can be hard to find the time to read and write as much as anyone would like, you know, especially when you start factoring in, you know, having a job that is not one of those things, which most of us, you know, have to do, and having, you know, other family obligations and, you know, day-to-day life kind of things you're trying to get done. So the idea of, you know, reading while taking notes and while planning to make that into your review is a great way to kind of stay current with what's happening in literature and have a voice in it and kind of sharpen those critical writing skills while you're at it. And above all, just kind of a way of being part of literary community. You know, the reviews that I've done, by and large, are by, you know, authors who I think are at this point, you know, more established than myself. You know, they have books out, which is something that, you know, when I published these first 5 reviews, you know, is not the case for me. And so, you know, it's a way of kind of being a part of that conversation and part of the literary community, which is something I think is always worth aspiring towards and, you know, being a good citizen within that framework. Okay. So that's a wrap on book reviews for this time. Anyone who wants to see the book reviews that I've done, they are all available, at least as of the time that I'm recording this, for free online. If you go to my website at miketchin.com and go to the nonfiction tab, there's a listing of them there with direct links to each of them. Okay, so we'll move on ahead to Mike's monthly endorsement. So Again, as an artist, I think it's important to be consuming other things to see what interests and inspires you and see what's already out there and what's come before you. So at the end of episodes, I'm recommending a book, story, movie, TV show, band, wrestling match, etc. That may have escaped a huge mainstream audience or might be a little bit dated now and at the cusp of being forgotten, but that I nonetheless recommend to you. So in this case, I'm going to refer you all to Brian Oliu's review of Todd Kaneko's book, The Dead Wrestler Elegies. And I hope I'm pronouncing Brian's name correctly. I'm skeptical he'll ever actually listen to this podcast, but in case he does, apologies if I've got that name mispronounced, but I'll say it phonetically, Brian Oliu. So he reviewed Todd Kaneko's book, The Dead Wrestler's Elegy, which I think that I actually used as a monthly endorsement a while back on the podcast. It's a collection of poems, as it sounds, about dead wrestlers. I think it's a really smart collection that does some really literary things with, again, a genre that I think usually doesn't get appreciated in that way. And Brian published this review with an online magazine called Diagram, and the review is still up online for free, at least as again of the time I'm recording. Diagram is a really cool magazine. It focuses on this kind of aesthetic of breaking things down in novel ways, which usually manifests itself in formal choices that the work that they publish kind of encompasses, and also just some really good literature. The review itself is a poem, at least that's the way that I would read it, and it has 30 numbered items in it. My best read on that is as kind of a connection to the Royal Rumble, and that is referenced early on in the review, but for those who are less familiar, that's a traditional match that WWE puts on that most often has included 30 performers. There's only, you know, two exceptions. The first one had 20, there was one year it had 40, but otherwise, 30 is kind of the gold standard for that match. And so my best guess is it relates to that, although I think more generally there's kind of an element of counting down and kind of building things throughout that piece. But just a really clever, interesting format for a review that I think really fits with Diagram well, and I think really serves Todd Kaneko's book really well. And this was one of those key things that I read that kind of exposed me to wrestling as a topic for literary exploration. I hadn't even heard of The Dead Wrestler Elegies up until that point, and so, you know, introduced me to that. But then also just the review itself was clearly written by someone who was, you know, both a very skilled writer, but also someone who clearly knew professional wrestling. And so, immediately caught my attention as something kind of aspirational. It's like people are doing these things that are sort of like what I could envision myself doing. So, again, recommend that to you. It's Brian Oliu's review of The Dead Wrestler Elegies, again, available online via Diagram. All right, well, as always, I want to thank you all for listening, and I want to thank my friend Mike Peake for providing the theme music for this show. I'm wishing you all good health, happiness, and creativity, and I'll catch you next time.